20. Maneuvering them into weakness. The ripening for the sickle strategy. No matter how strong you are, fighting endless battles with people is exhausting, costly, and unimaginative. Why strategists generally prefer the art of maneuver. Before the battle even begins, they find ways to put their opponents in positions of such weakness that victory is easy and quick. Bait enemies into taking positions that may seem alluring, but are actually traps and blind alleys. If their position is strong, get them to abandon it by leading them on a wild goose chase. Create dilemmas. Devise maneuvers that give them a choice of ways to respond, all of them bad. Channel chaos and disorder in their direction. Confused, frustrated, and angry opponents are like ripe fruit on the bough. The slightest breeze will make them fall. Maneuver warfare. Throughout history, two distinct styles of warfare can be identified. The most ancient is the war of attrition. The enemy surrenders because you have killed so many of its men. A general fighting a war of attrition will calculate ways to overwhelm the other side with larger numbers, or with the battle formation that will do the most damage, or with superior military technology. In any event, victory depends on wearing down the other side in battle. Even with today's extraordinary technology, attrition warfare is remarkably unsophisticated, playing into humanity's most violent instincts. Over many centuries, and most notably in ancient China, a second method of waging war developed. The emphasis here was not destroying the other side in battle, but weakening and unbalancing it before the battle began. The leader would maneuver to confuse and infuriate and to put the enemy in a bad position, having to fight uphill or with the sun or wind in its face or in a cramped space. In this kind of war, an army with mobility could be more effective than one with muscle. The maneuver warfare philosophy was codified by Sun Tzu in his Art of War, written in China's Warring States period in the 5th to 3rd century BC. Over 200 years of escalating cycles of warfare in which a state's very survival depended on its army and strategists. To Sun Tzu and his contemporaries, it was obvious that the costs of war went far beyond its body counts. It entailed a loss of resources and political goodwill, and a lowering of morale among soldiers and citizens. These costs would mount over time until eventually even the greatest warrior nation would succumb to exhaustion. But through adroit maneuvering, a state could spare itself such high costs and still emerge victorious. An enemy who had been maneuvered into a weak position would succumb more easily to psychological pressure, even before the battle had begun. It had imperceptibly started to collapse and would surrender with less of a fight. What matters here is process. The steps toward battle and how to manipulate them to make the confrontation less costly and violent. In the maneuver universe, nothing is static. Battles are, in fact, dramatic illusions, short moments in the larger flow of events, which is fluid, dynamic, and susceptible to alteration through careful strategy. This way of thinking finds no honor or morality in wasting time, energy, and lives in battles. Instead, wars of attrition are seen as lazy, reflecting the primitive human tendency to fight back reactively without thinking.